Imagine a critical moment in the life of the prophet Elisha, vividly narrated in the Book of Kings. This episode unfolds as Elisha, returning from Jericho to Bethel, encounters a group of young men from the city. As described in 2 Kings 2:23-24, these young men not only cross his path but do so with scorn, mocking him with repeated insults. "Go up, you baldhead! Go up, you baldhead!" What happens next is beyond the ordinary. The prophet, after turning to the youths and facing them, invokes a curse upon them in the name of the Lord. Astonishingly and terrifyingly, 2 bears emerge from the forest and attack 42 of these young men. This scene, powerful and disturbing, resonates through millennia. Why would a man of God invoke such a fate over mere insults? At first glance, this account may shock or even perplex us. Why the severity of such a reaction to simple mockery? It is here that we delve into the historical and cultural context surrounding this narrative. In the time of Elisha, not only did words carry weight, but respect for the prophets was considered sacred, and mocking one of them could be seen as a direct affront to the divine authority they represented. Thus, by exploring other biblical texts and contexts, we begin to understand that this event was not merely about revenge or undue punishment, but a demonstration of the seriousness with which honor and respect were treated at that time. As we delve deeper into the analysis of this intriguing episode in the life of the prophet Elisha, it is crucial to realize that the involved youths were not mere innocent children, but men in their 20s, as the Hebrew term specifies. This was not a trivial gathering. There were 42 of them, all inhabitants of Bethel, a city then notorious for its idolatry and open rejection of God's prophets. This act of mockery against Elisha was not simply a gesture of youthful disrespect. It was an explicit rejection of the divine authority he represented. As the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 105:15, "Touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm." In this context, prophets were seen as ambassadors of God. To reject a prophet was indeed to reject the very message and presence of God. The insult, calling him baldhead, carried an even deeper connotation in the cultural context of the time. Premature baldness was often seen as a sign of divine disapproval, amplifying the disrespect to Elisha's status as a prophet. This act of public disrespect and doubt about his spiritual authority revealed a deeper attitude of contempt, not just towards Elisha, but towards the deity he served. This account highlights a vital lesson: God's patience with the rejection of his word and the contempt for his servants has its limits. The Apostle Paul echoes this theme in Galatians 6:7, warning, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." At the heart of this intriguing episode with Elisha, we find reflection on divine justice and God's patience, which, though slow to anger, is inexorable in its fulfillment. The issue of the age of the youths who mocked Elisha is a key to understanding the broader context of this story. The passage in 2 Kings uses the Hebrew term Ne'arim Katanim, translated as young boys or young men, which has sparked heated debates and various interpretations over the centuries. The ambiguity in this terminology leaves us with several possibilities. Some scholars suggest they were children around 10 years old, while others argue they were teenagers or young adults. This uncertainty about the specific age is not explicitly clarified in the Old Testament, which does not provide clear details about the average age of transition to adulthood among the Hebrews of that era. However, some textual and historical clues indicate that these youths could be older than mere children. For instance, they had the ability to travel considerable distances alone, approximately 15 kilometers from Jericho to Bethel, suggesting a maturity and independence beyond childhood. Furthermore, the seriousness of the number, 42 youths attacked by the bears, points to a substantial and likely organized group of young men, not just a small gathering of children. Historically, it is documented that in many ancient societies, groups of unmarried young men without family responsibilities often formed gangs that could engage in acts of violence and intimidation. This historical perspective helps us understand the disruptive potential and social threat such groups represented, placing the narrated incident in a broader context of social and moral tensions of the time. Given the details presented, a compelling inclination emerges to understand these youths as undisciplined adults, around 20 years old. This interpretation is reinforced by the cultural context of the time, which helps us understand the magnitude of the insult made to Elisha. By mocking his premature boldness, these youths were not only pointing out a physical characteristic, they were publicly challenging his authority as a prophet of God, a gesture whose gravity would hardly be fully appreciated by young children. This defiant stance makes more sense when attributed to young adults seeking to destabilize the established order. Nevertheless, the text maintains an ambiguity that may be intentional, leaving us without absolute certainty about the exact age of these provocateurs. This intentional uncertainty invites us to focus less on chronological specifics and more on the substance of what occurred. The true lesson of this episode lies not so much in the age of those involved, but in the gravity of their actions. The arrogant and deliberate rejection of God's word by these idolatrous youths reflects a condition of the heart much more serious and concerning than any measure of time or physical maturity. Therefore, whether they were 10, 20, or 30 years old becomes secondary in the face of divine justice that responds proportionally to the gravity of the sin committed. This sad episode serves as a poignant reminder. The rejection of God's messengers does not go without consequences, and the urgency to heed the call of the Lord extends through all phases of life, from the tenderest age to adulthood. In the unfolding of this narrative, the exact identity of the youths who mocked Elisha remains a mystery, surrounded by debate among scholars due to the scarcity of details in the biblical text. However, the geographical location and cultural context of the Kingdom of Israel at that time offer crucial clues that help illuminate the incident. The confrontation took place on the road between Jericho and Bethel, and it is important to note that Bethel, at that time, was a notorious center of idolatrous worship. After the split between the Northern Kingdom, Israel, and the Southern Kingdom, Judah, Jeroboam I established a temple dedicated to the golden calf in Bethel. This practice, strongly condemned by the prophets, was not merely a religious innovation, but a resurgence of an ancient Canaanite tradition in which Baal, the storm god, was revered in the form of a bull. By instituting the worship of the golden calf, Jeroboam sought to create a nationalist alternative to pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem, which remained under the control of Judah. This movement was viewed, from the perspective of Mosaic religion, as condemnable idolatry. Therefore, Eliseus's mission in going to Bethel was not trivial. He was heading straight to a bastion of Israelite paganism to preach repentance. We can assume that the young men Eliseus encountered on the road were likely natives of Bethel or were on their way to participate in idolatrous rituals at the temple. Their hostility towards the prophet reflected a broader rejection, typical of pagan circles, of the Lord's message. This rejection was not just an isolated act of disrespect, but part of a broader resistance against the values and commandments transmitted by the prophets of God. During this turbulent period in the Kingdom of Israel, pagan influences not only persisted, but flourished, introducing practices such as Baalism, orgiastic rituals in honor of Baal, and the worship of the fertility goddess Astarte. These licentious cults attracted crowds with their unrestrained and seductive festivities, creating an atmosphere of religious fervor, contrary to the teachings of Yahweh. The prophets, committed to the preservation of pure worship, vigorously opposed these practices, considered a serious contamination. We can speculate that some of the young men who confronted Eliseus were affiliated with these idolatrous and immoral sects. Their attitude, manifested through insults and aggression, clearly reflects a rejection of the values of the Mosaic covenant. They represent the arrogant and violent resistance of a corrupted youth, seduced by the pagan cults that thrived in the deviant kingdom of Israel. The subsequent punishment, severe and exemplary, must be seen in the context of this spiritual struggle against the idolatrous deviations of a nation that had been promised to the Lord. Eliseus, in confronting this gang of troublemakers, was defending the honor of the threefold holy God before a group indoctrinated by the predominant pagan religion. This episode highlights the perennial need for vigilance against the seductions of modern idols, such as success at any cost and the cult of personality. The account ends by reminding us of the promise contained in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. The episode of Eliseus's mocking youths, fascinated by pagan cults, offers a powerful warning against the seductions of the false gods of our era. In a world adorned with the veneer of progress and modernity, spiritual delusions as dangerous as the idolatry of ancient Israel lurk. Our contemporary society, often lacking discernment, idolizes professional and social success, promoting a cult of careerism and unwavering commitment to the god of money, which reigns supreme by exacerbating greed and injustice. The worship of the body, through the dictates of physical appearance and hedonistic excess, reflects the ancient worship of physical idols. Modern pop stars, like the stone idols of the past, arouse irrational devotion among their followers. Social media promotes a subtle cult of ego, where each individual elevates themselves to a kind of divinity on their digital altars. These new idols create a form of spiritual slavery as real as that of the ancient false gods, diverting us from the true God and the eternal values of his kingdom. Faced with these contemporary seductions, we must cry out for the help of the Spirit to remain faithful as witnesses of Christ. Like Elisha, who did not fear confronting the tide of his time by denouncing the empty and deceptive promises of the pagan world, we too should not fear disapproval or mockery in doing the same. Let us stand firm and unshaken, remembering the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It is vital to recognize the interconnection with another significant moment in the biblical narrative, Elijah's ascension into heaven, described in the previous chapter of Kings. This connection highlights not only a repetition of vocabulary, but a deliberate provocation that resonates with deeper implications. Elisha's cry upon witnessing his master's ascension, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, is a proclamation of loss and recognition of Elijah's role as defender and protector of Israel through his prophetic word. This moment of prophetic transition is marked by profound respect and an expression of loss by Elisha. In direct contrast, we find the youths of Bethel mocking Elisha with cries of, "Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head!" This mockery not only ridicules Elisha, but also belittles the sacred event of Elijah's ascension, indicating a failure to recognize continuity and prophetic authority. By calling him baldhead, they reject not only Elisha's physical presence, but also his claims to prophetic role, just as they rejected Elijah's authority before him. Shouting, "Go up," is a direct mockery of the sacred tradition that the prophets of the Lord are taken up to heaven, turning an act of reverence into one of scorn. This episode challenges us to fully live out our calling as prophets for this time, recognizing and honoring true transmissions of spiritual authority and the figures who embody them. The mockery of the youths of Bethel towards Elisha carries deep significance, revealing a conscious and deliberate rejection of the prophetic word. They not only ridicule Elisha, but do so through a blasphemous parody of the sacred words used by Elisha when witnessing Elijah's ascension. Instead of acknowledging prophetic authority with a respectful, "My father," they degrade him with shouts of, "Go up, you bald head!" This inversion of biblical terms is not mere childish taunting. It is a conscious and premeditated blasphemy. By shouting, "Go up, you bald head," these idolatrous youths not only mock Elisha's appearance, but also deliberately reject the prophets sent by the Lord who call them back to true faith. The mockery, therefore, becomes a symbolic representation of the broader rejection of prophecy, and by extension, God's own word. This episode, when connected to Elijah's ascension, reveals the high spiritual stakes at play. It is not merely a violent anecdote, but a confrontation between the true word of God and the arrogant idolatry of these youths. The severe punishment they face is a reflection of the gravity of their sin against the Holy Spirit. In meditating upon this account, we must ask ourselves if we are joyfully welcoming the messengers that God continues to send us. Are we, like the insolent youths of Bethel, pridefully rejecting the prophetic exhortations that challenge our ego? Instead of echoing mockery, we should sincerely and humbly cry out, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The episode where bears come out of the woods to attack youths who insulted the prophet Elisha might initially seem shocking, especially in light of modern notions of divine justice and mercy. This account may be unsettling because, at first glance, it appears to represent severe and immediate divine punishment. However, a closer analysis of the text may lead us to a different interpretation. The biblical text in 2 Kings 2:23-24 reports quite soberly that after being cursed by Elisha in the name of the Lord, two bears emerged from the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. It is important to note that the Bible does not explicitly state that God sent these bears as an act of direct punishment. The connection between Elisha's curse and the bear attack is certainly temporal and, for many, suggestive of a causal relationship, but this interpretation may require caution. Correlation does not necessarily imply causality, and the text does not describe the bears miraculously or instantly appearing in response to the prophet's words. Furthermore, there are other narratives in the Old Testament where people are injured or killed by wild animals without any indication of supernatural intervention, such as in Leviticus 26, 22, and Ezekiel 14, 15. These incidents are presented more as natural consequences in a world where the danger of wild animals was a constant reality. Therefore, it is possible that the bear attack, though tragically dramatic, was not a manifestation of divine vengeance, but rather an unfortunate and unplanned event. This view is reinforced by the overall characterization of God in the scriptures as holy, yet patient, slow to anger, and full of love for humanity. Directly attributing to God actions of violent vengeance may contradict the central message of the Bible of a God who desires the redemption, not the destruction, of sinners. The narrative of the youths being attacked by bears after mocking Elisha invites us to deeply reflect on the messages conveyed by the scriptures and how we interpret divine action. In the teachings of Jesus, we find a significant contrast. He instructs us to love our enemies and to resist the impulse to invoke divine judgment upon them, emphasizing grace over condemnation. This principle is a fundamental shift from the perspective often perceived in the accounts of the Old Testament. The stories of the Old Testament often reflect the harshness of life in those times and are reported without necessarily implying direct divine intervention. The episode of the bear attack can be understood in this context. Nothing in the text explicitly indicates that God sent these bears as a miraculous punishment. It may have simply been the tragic result of the youth's imprudence in the face of natural danger. Before we interpret these events as divine judgments, it is essential to examine our own hearts and our interpretations of the scriptures. We must question why stories like these are included in the Bible and what God wishes to teach us through them. This account not only highlights the seriousness of the sin represented by the rejection of God's word and his messengers, but also serves to demonstrate the continuity between the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. Just as Elijah called down fire from heaven, Elisha carries a prophetic authority that demands respect. The spirit of Elijah, manifested in demonstrations of divine power, now rests upon Elisha, reinforcing the connection and the ongoing authority of his ministry. This episode between Elisha and the mocking youths not only portrays a moment of direct confrontation, but symbolizes the ongoing struggle between prophetic word and the growing idolatry in the kingdom of Israel. The hostility of the youths towards Elisha illustrates the deep tensions that prophets faced in challenging the ritual and moral failures of the nation. In this context, the youths represent more than mere provocateurs. They symbolize those who brazenly scorn and ridicule the word of God. Their tragic fate serves as a foreshadowing of the final judgment reserved for all who obstinately reject the Lord and his sacred demands. In addition to being a severe warning, the episode underscores the dangerous nature of life in a fallen world, dominated by the tyranny of sin. The narrative reflects the frailty of human existence and the urgency of seeking reconciliation with God. This story also holds a typological dimension, foreshadowing the violence that Jesus Christ, the ultimate prophet, would suffer at the hands of his contemporaries. Just as Elisha was rejected, Jesus would also face rejection, but his rejection, paradoxically, would lead to salvation for all humanity. This episode of Elisha and the Mocking Youths highlights deep and often forgotten meanings embodied in symbolic details such as the number 42. This number, in biblical narrative, often symbolizes divine judgment, something that manifests in various ways throughout the scriptures. In the biblical context, the number 42 carries a particular resonance with the theme of divine punishment. During the Exodus, for example, it is mentioned that the Hebrews made 42 stops during their 40 years of wandering in the desert, as recorded in the book of Numbers. Each of these stages was marked by rebellions and grumblings against God, despite all the benefits received. This ingratitude resulted in the punishment of not being able to enter the promised land immediately. An entire generation had to pass before access was granted. Therefore, when 42 youths are killed after insulting Elisha, this number does not seem to be merely coincidental, but an intentional resonance that evokes the idea of severe divine judgment. The attitude of the youths in challenging the authority of a prophet of God reflects a direct parallel with the rebellion of the Israelites in the desert. Their death symbolizes the consequence of spiritual hardening, a refusal to honor God and respect his messengers. The use of the number 42 in this passage, therefore, reinforces the idea of punishment for grave sins, such as idolatry and rejection of divine messengers. It serves as a stark reminder of the mortal danger of impenitence, highlighting that disrespect and rebellion against God's commandments and messengers can lead to tragic and definitive consequences. This symbolic meaning enriches the understanding of the disturbing story of Elisha and the youths in the Old Testament, adding layers of significance that transcend a merely literal reading. Furthermore, the location of the incident, the road between Jericho and Bethel, is not only geographically relevant, but also carries significant theological weight. According to some scholars, this was the route taken by the Hebrews as they entered the Promised Land, and the youths, walking in the opposite direction, symbolize their spiritual unfaithfulness. The description of the youths as small in Hebrew may not only refer to their age, but also to their spiritual smallness, contrasting with the greatness of Elisha, who represents God. By cursing the youths, Elisha doesn't create a new reality, but merely confirms the existing reality of their own curse. By rejecting God, they have excluded themselves from the covenant and eternal life. Some church fathers interpreted this episode as a foreshadowing of the eschatological judgment, where rebels will be torn apart by wild beasts, an image that also appears in the book of Revelation. This perspective highlights the serious spiritual implications of the episode and emphasizes the importance of considering the rich typology and prophetic depth of Scripture. Faced with this complex episode from the Old Testament, what should we retain? First and foremost, we should be grateful to live under the new covenant in Jesus Christ, who through his death on the cross demonstrated a love and forgiveness that infinitely surpassed the often relentless justice of the Old Testament. Secondly, it is essential to honor and respect the messengers whom God continues to send to instruct us in faith, keeping our hearts open to the words of pastors, preachers, and teachers who convey the scriptures to us. Finally, we should reflect on Jesus's warning, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes," Matthew 11, verse 21.